Both President Trump and Joe Biden are campaigning in Minnesota today as early voting begins there. Last night, in separate events, the two presidential candidates focused their campaigns in very different ways.
Biden will hand the left-wing mob the keys to your kids' classroom.
I really do view this campaign as a campaign between Scranton and Park Avenue.
Let's bring in our Friday Politics Roundtable. Beth Fooey, Senior Politics Editor at NBC News, and Scott Wong, Senior Staff Writer at The Hill. Welcome to both of you. This week we saw both President Trump and Joe Biden face undecided voters, something they haven't done in a long time. Last night it was Biden's turn in a CNN town hall where he called Trump's response to the pandemic criminal and totally irresponsible. Listen.
We have to be honest with the American people. They're tough. They know, as Franklin Roosevelt said, things get worse and worse before they get better and better. But you got to level with the American people. Shoot from the shoulder. There's never been a time they've not been able to step up. This president should step down.
Beth, how did Biden do last night as he faced voters who were undecided?
Well, he got a pretty good reception. People seem very willing to listen to him and receptive to his message, whereas President Trump earlier in the week really got hit by a lot of pretty tough questions. He doesn't typically sit for that type of interview, so it was noteworthy to see him taking questions from people who weren't automatically willing to give him the benefit of the doubt on the economy and on COVID and other things. So far, Biden has done a pretty good job staying focused. He's not being pulled off into directions that his campaign insists are not the major issues of the campaign. He's staying on message about the pandemic, mm-hmm. on the economy. That clip you just played where he said it's Scranton versus Wall Street. Very interesting. He's sort of flipping the traditional script. Usually conservatives, Republicans say they portray Democrats as the party of the elite. And right now, Biden's trying to say that actually Republicans and President Trump represent those interests.
Scott Wong, let me go to you. We heard Tanya set up at the top that these candidates are focusing their campaigns in very different ways. That is certainly the case. But I wonder if that is where most voters are right now, that they're either full on in Trump camp or full on in Biden camp, and there's not a whole lot in the middle right now.
Well, there probably is not a whole lot in the middle, but the middle is sort of what's going to decide this election. And if for the people who have not made up their minds already, they're taking a close look at events like these, like the ABC town hall with President Trump, where he stumbled through a few of those healthcare questions from undecided voters, as well as Joe Biden just yesterday. And so, you know, it looks like President Trump continues to try to appeal to his base. He's, you know, for example, yesterday rolled out what he called his pro-America education plan, which really was something that was trying to appeal more towards his base. I think with Joe Biden, you're seeing more an appeal to those centrist voters. And so, you know, that's really sort of where the difference is between these two candidates. You're going to hear over and over, as you did last night, about this whole framing from Joe Biden and his people, Scranton versus Park Avenue. Joe mm-hmm. Biden really wants to hammer home that he is a guy of the people. He's there representing the little people and is going to be talking a lot about his Scranton roots and portraying President Trump as somebody who grew up pretty wealthy and was handed a lot of things to him in his life.
And we probably will expect to hear more of that during the first debates, which are on September 29th. President Trump says he's preparing for the debates by doing what he does every day. Biden says he's preparing to push back on the false statements that the president has made. Beth, what are you expecting to see and hear in this first debate on the 29th?
Well, you can only imagine how this is going to be the TV show of the century, to see the two of them finally come together in this campaign that is just so fraught for so many Americans. Look, President Trump's been through this once. He debated Hillary Clinton three times in 2016. And even though, generally speaking, most analysts thought Hillary Clinton won all three debates, Trump went on to win the election. So they're not necessarily all that predictive. But he has been through this at a presidential level. Joe Biden has debated twice as a vice presidential nominee, once with Sarah Palin and once with Paul mm-hmm. Ryan. Generally speaking, he got good marks at both of those debates, but that was 12 years ago. So more than 12 years ago in the case of the Palin debate. So he mm-hmm. could be a little rusty. We are hearing that he is practicing quite intensively and is taking the prep very seriously, whereas President Trump is probably going to wing it a little more. And those false statements, we do know that President Trump has a habit of sort of plunging into things that aren't necessarily true. So how much time Biden spends correcting Trump versus making his own case is going to be a little bit of a tricky balance mm-hmm. for Biden.
And President Trump's response to the coronavirus continues to come under fire. Vice President Pence's former lead staffer, Olivia Troy, says she's now voting for Joe Biden. And in a video, Troy, who is a lifelong Republican, says the president only cares about getting reelected, not leading the nation during this pandemic.
Towards the middle of February, we knew it wasn't a matter of if COVID would become a big pandemic here in the United States. It was a matter of when. But the president didn't want to hear that because his biggest concern was that we were in election year and how is this going to affect what he considered to be his record of success. It was shocking to see the president saying that the virus was a hoax, saying that everything's okay.
Very ominous music. Scott, what is the White House saying about this?
Well, the White House and specifically Vice President Pence, for whom this woman was a staffer, one of his top advisors, especially on the coronavirus pandemic, he is saying that, you know, she is somebody who is a disgruntled former employee who wanted to play politics during, you know, in the home stretch of an election year. But I think, you know, she follows a trend of ex-White House staffers. You know, including Defense Secretary Jim Mattis and Dan Coats, the Director of National Intelligence, and National Security Advisor John Bolton, who have spoken out and criticized the president's handling of a variety of issues, including the coronavirus pandemic. And so this follows a trend of people who saw the internal workings of the White House and have said, you know, this man is simply not fit to be president. It's damning, especially as it comes on the heels of the Bob Woodward revelations that said that had recordings showing that Trump admitted deliberately downplaying the dangers of COVID-19 because he said he didn't really want to create a panic in the public among Americans. And so this is yet another bad week for the president. And there's not that many days left before the election. Mm-hmm. People are already heading to the polls in places like North Carolina and Virginia mm-hmm. and Minnesota, where the two candidates are today.
Scott, I thought you were going to say that Pence said that he didn't know her, his former top aide.
He definitely knew her.
Rather, she was just disgruntled, right?
There are a lot of photos of the two together, so he can't deny
right.
he
didn't hard know to, her. Hard yeah. to deny that. Beth, let's talk about what this all means for Senate races, because, of course, it's not just the presidency that's happening, the presidential election, but, of course, the control of the Senate is at stake. And there are new polls out today that show that Democratic Senate candidates in Maine, North Carolina, Arizona are leading the Republican the Republican challengers in those states. And a lot of that has to do with the president and his pandemic response. Is it dragging down Republicans?
Well, that's always going to be the case, that whomever is at the top of the ticket is either going to boost the candidates of his or her party or drag them down, depending on how that person at the top of the ticket is doing. Right now, President Trump is lagging behind in some of those states, and he is definitely producing a drag on people like Martha McSally in Arizona and Susan Collins up in Maine. But, you know, it's still early. We also know that, you know, balance in the Senate is going to depend very much on the race in Alabama, where a Democrat, Doug Jones, is likely to lose. So just because the Senate seats flip in certain states, if one flips back to Republicans on the other side, we could be getting mm-hmm. very, very close to a 50-50 tie or a narrow Republican majority in the Senate, keeping Mitch McConnell in power.
There is word, Scott, that Congress, you know, may be a little closer at this point to a new coronavirus relief bill. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said there's still a massive need for it. She wants to keep lawmakers in town until they come up with something. And President Trump told Republicans to offer a more expensive bill themselves. What are you hearing about whether you think there will be another relief bill coming?
Well, time is really running out. They only have a couple more weeks that they're in session before they leave for the campaign trail. So the clock is ticking. However, I think the big development, as you hit on, was the president telling his own party and senators in his own party to get a bigger number in terms of coronavirus relief. That had really bailed out Speaker Nancy Pelosi because she was under fire from her own vulnerable Democrats who were saying, you got to get something for us. We're heading back to our districts on the campaign trail with nothing to show for. And President Trump bailed her out in a big way by saying, we need a deal and we need a big number.
That is Scott Wong, senior staff writer at The Hill. And we've been speaking with Beth Fooey, senior politics editor at NBC News. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.